We have been talking about the seven most important power points in praying for yourself. What are some of the things that are actually the most important things we should pay attention to, the principles of the Word of God and insights and instructions from the Word of God that we should pay attention to when we pray for ourselves? And we identified seven of these principles. We have already learned three. We're actually on number three, and I'm going to try to wrap that number three up tonight. And I trust God that I might give you the last four. Just give them to you as a list before I close out the service tonight. And then, I mean, you have the opportunity to look over everything, all of the seven, and even in the month of April, you can dig, you can start the study, and some of the other four principles that I'll share with you, I'll mention to you briefly. You can start digging into those and studying those out. And when we come back in May, by God's grace, we will start studying those together and build strongly on some of the things that we have already learned. So the seven most important PowerPoints in praying for yourself. We identify the first one as abiding in God and allowing His Word to abide in us, abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing His Word to abide in us. Like the Bible says in John 15 and verse 7, the Lord said, "If you abide in me and if my words abide in you, then you will ask whatsoever you will, and it will be given unto you." So, abiding in the Lord and having His Word abide very richly and powerfully in us is the first principle. The second principle, excuse me, is committing to the will of God. Committing to the will of God. And our scripture, one of our most important scriptures for that, 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if He hears us, then we know that we have also obtained the petitions that we have asked of Him." 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Committing to the will of God so that we are not asking amiss, and the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us there. The Holy Spirit reveals the will of God to us, or He helps us pray according to the will of God. And even in the place of our personal praying, that is really one of the most important principles that we can observe. And then the third principle, which we have been learning for about 2 to 3 weeks or so now, is in developing and engaging our faith in the place of prayer, developing and engaging your faith in the place of prayer. And that's where that our all-powerful scripture that we have been memorizing and declaring. I hope you have that down now completely, 100%. And if you haven't, you have some time over the next few weeks to challenge yourself to memorize that scripture and be able to use it in prayer. That's one of the most powerful scriptures that we need to throw out. We need to bring out of ourselves in the place of prayer to energize our faith in whatever we're believing God for. Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. And if you've already learned that by heart and you've put that in your spirit, it's in memory. Let's say it together. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21 and 22. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done." Verse 22, "And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Amen. Let's do that together again. That's such a powerful piece of scripture. And I told you the revelatory moment that I had in our last service last week, Wednesday, just realizing it's Matthew 21, 21, 22. And that thing flashed within my heart. It's all, and we're in 2021. And that made it even all the more powerful because the Lord's been giving us that scripture and hammering on that scripture. It's almost become a theme for our entire lesson and experience in the place of prayer. So I do hope you have that in your heart. Let's recite it one more time. Matthew chapter 21, verses 21 and 22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and if you doubt not, you shall not only do that or do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Verse 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Amen. So where this becomes really significant and really powerful in the place of prayer and in the place of engaging our faith, developing our faith and engaging our faith in prayer. Notice there are two things the Lord said there. If you have faith and if you doubt not, those are two different things. You can have faith, but your faith can become overwhelmed by doubt. And if your faith becomes overwhelmed by doubt, your faith becomes paralyzed. It becomes inefficient, almost useless, really. So the Lord said, if you have faith, so that's the first thing. So we have to have faith. We have to believe. We have to develop our faith. If you have faith. And then number two, and if you doubt not. And of course, faith is expressed from our heart. It's developed in the heart. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith is developed in our heart, but it is expressed through our mind, our thoughts, in actions, in words and in actions. It is through our words and our actions that faith is actually expressed. You can have all the faith in your heart, but if you don't translate it to your mind and then express it in words and then express it in actions, in steps of faith, measurable, deliberate steps of faith, your faith is inactive. Your faith goes from pistis, which is active, living faith, to just mental assent, just something you know is powerful. You agree it works, but you are not really working it. You are not really using it. So that's what this particular principle, our lessons and our studies on this principle have essentially centered around that. We have talked a lot about winning the battle of the mind and being able to take control of our thoughts, because both faith and doubt are expressed through our mind, through our thoughts. Doubts usually come into our minds and take over our thought process. And a lot of times, while we're standing in faith and we're doing our best to stand and to walk in faith, even in the place of prayer, if we have allowed doubt to take a hold in our minds, that doubt has the ability to paralyze our faith. So it is very important that we win the battle in our mind, the battle within our thoughts. Amen. And so there are some pertinent, very important instructions that we started to look into. There were actually four of them, and I want to go back and give you those instructions one more time. They have a lot to do. Two of them, at the very least, have a lot to do with winning that battle in our minds, where we are taking control of our thoughts, where we are not allowing our thoughts to run amok and paralyze our believing in the place of prayer. Amen. So that first instruction was, we said, let every thought and desire that you entertain affirm that you have what you asked from the Lord. Never permit doubt or a mental picture of failure to stay in your mind or stop you from believing. If doubts persist, resist them and get your mind on the Word of God. Constantly affirm that the promises of God are so, and you have your miracle or your answer to the requests that you have made in your hands. This is really, really powerful. Take control over your thoughts. Take control over your thoughts. Your thoughts don't have to dominate. Negative thoughts, thoughts of failure, thoughts of disappointment don't have to dominate your mind. You can change that. The Bible tells us we can determine what we think. It tells us that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, whatsoever things are pure, lovely, true, virtuous, praiseworthy, think on these things. So that tells us we can determine what we think about, how we think. And of course, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, as a man thinks, that's who he is. That's exactly what we become, how we think. So this is really important that we constantly take control over our thoughts and always line up. It doesn't mean you are not going to have thoughts you don't like. It doesn't mean you are not going to have thoughts that you don't appreciate or thoughts that you did not want to have. The enemy is very adept at introducing thoughts into our minds and into our lives to paralyze our faith, to suck the air out of our experience, our faith in prayer experience. And what we have to do is we need to stand our ground on the Word of God. One of the ways in which we learn to refocus our minds in faith is by remembering the promises, keeping these promises in mind. And one of the promises that we've already armed ourselves with in this series of teachings is the promise in Matthew 21, 21, 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and if you doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's a scripture, that's a promise, that's a promise. That is a promise in the Word of God. And when doubt tries to take over our mind, we can refocus our minds on the promise of God. This is so very important. Now, the second instruction is just as powerful. Eradicate all thoughts, imaginations, dreams, fears, and things like that that do not agree with your desires. Eradicate them. That do not agree with your desires, which you have been assured of in God's word, as well as directly from the Lord, that are met, or that those desires you presented to the Lord in prayer, that you have become confident the Lord is going to fulfill. Well, eradicate thoughts that attack that. Amen. The Bible even tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that we should cast down, I'm going to find that scripture, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we should cast down imaginations, thoughts that do not align with the Word of God, that do not submit or subdue themselves to obedience in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That means we can take thoughts captive. We can cast thoughts down. Thoughts that are creating a conflict within our spirit. Thoughts that are seeking to limit our believing in God, we can cast them down. The Bible tells us we can do that. Now, keep in mind, we learned this last time Our thoughts are governed by three major things: teachings, observations, and associations. These are the three major influences that govern our thoughts, our thought life. Teachings that we receive a long time ago, teachings that we continue to receive today, govern our thoughts, whether we like it or not. That's why it's so easy to begin to believe something because you've heard it over and over and over again, even though that thing may not be true. It may not be true. But because you hear it over and over again from either a person of authority or a person who seems to know what they're saying and who gives them to us as instructions or as truth, if we hear it over and over and over again, they dominate our thoughts. That's why it's important that we determine that the teachings we receive are teachings from channels of authority in the Word of God who know the Word, who believe the Word. They're not just religious people. They're not just traditional minded people. They are godly people, and they are people that are well grounded in the Word. People who honor the Word. People who are well grounded in the Word. People who have given the Word first place. People who will not go beyond the Word of the Lord. People who will not do things that are contrary to the Word of the Lord once those things become obvious to them. People who will honor the integrity of the Word and that will be committed to it. That's so important. Our thought life is governed and influenced by the teachings we receive. The second source of influence are the observations. Whatever you focus on, whatever you look at, whatever you focus on, whatever you focus on very strongly will eventually dominate your thoughts and create expectations. It's very, very simple. If you, for instance, focus on failure and disappointment, and you focus on it over and over, and you focus on it for long enough, it becomes a part of your expectation. Everything you do, you expect failure. Everything you do, you expect to be disappointed. Why? Because you have made that one of the focal points of your observations. However, if you, like Paul told us to do in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you constantly train yourself to look away from things that are seen, that do not line up with the Word of God. Somebody preached a message a long time ago. He called it the covenant versus the contradictions. The covenant versus the contradictions. And I think it was Kenneth E. Hagin. He lined up all the different aspects of what the covenant instructs, what the covenant promises, and what the covenant determines. Lined it up against the contradictions, the things from the world, the things from our natural physical experience, the things from people that are not grounded in the Word. Sometimes news media that we trust, sometimes authorities that we trust, right? And he lined them up and he said, the covenant is sure, but the contradictions, they are guaranteed to attack the covenant. They are guaranteed to create a conflict with the covenant. So what do we need to always do? We need to always focus on the covenant. Paul did say in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are seen are eternal. Think about that for just a minute here. He said, while we look not at the things that are seen, and in the Amplified, it says, since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, this aspect of dominating our thoughts and determining what's going on in our minds is really crucial. You see, Abraham practicing that principle in Romans chapter 4, the Word of God tells us, he said here in Romans chapter 4 verse 18 in the Amplified, For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb. No unbelief or distrust made him waver or doubtingly question. Amen. Now, in the King James, he says, being not weak in verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. He considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Abraham practiced that principle. He looked at the contradiction, which was really coming from his own physical, natural body, and he would not consider it strongly. He did not deny the existence of it. He just would not consider it strongly. He would not pay that much attention to it. What was he paying attention to? The covenant, the promise, the word of God. The Bible says he staggered not through unbelief. He staggered not through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. So in the place of prayer, what we focus on, our observations determine a lot of the thoughts that go through our mind and determine our expectation and affect our ability to have faith in the place of prayer. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, the Bible says this about the man of God, Moses. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, he says, by faith Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. So he took away his eyes from what he could see, the visible, which was Pharaoh, Pharaoh's household, and all the things that were going on there, and what they were doing to the children of Israel, and the strong arm that they had over that entire nation, the people of God. He took his eyes off of that and chose to focus on the invisible God and his power. And because he focused on the invisible God, he was able to do the impossible. Amen. So what we focus on determines a lot of what happens in our minds. Whatever you watch, you know this from movies. You can watch a movie and it can affect you so strongly, and you think about it so strongly, and you go to bed and you have a dream that has something in relation to what you were watching. And it may not be a movie. You can watch something or look at something so much, so frequently, so constantly, that it begins to determine the images in your mind. It begins to shape what you think about, how you think, how you expect, what you look forward to. Amen. So teachings, our thoughts are governed and influenced by one, our teachings or the teachings that we receive, two, observations that we make, the things that we focus on, and three, our associations, the people that are close to us, the things that we're close to, ultimately determine how we think. Like I said earlier on, if you hear something being said long enough from someone who is around you or someone who is close to you, you are eventually going to start thinking that and believing it. This is so very important. That's also why it's important that we are able to determine what we do with our associations. It doesn't necessarily mean, for you to not have associations that are ungodly, associations that are not lined up with the word, you are going to have to leave. Like Paul said, you are going to have to completely leave the world. And none of us is called, we're not called to do that, right? But what we are supposed to do is put associations in their place, amen? Determine that we will have the upper hand in those relationships. If you see that someone is not necessarily lined up with the word of God, they don't live by the principles of the word, they don't honor the word, they are not committed to it, then in your association with them, you've got to make up your mind, I'm going to be the influencer. I'm going to be the influencer in this association. so that they don't pull me down. I will keep looking for ways to pulling them up, to pull them up. Amen. So associations. And if we pay attention to the teachings we receive, we pay attention to the observations around us, and we pay attention to our associations, we can affect our thoughts. We can affect our thoughts. Listen to this now. In addition to what we've already said about eradicating thoughts and things like that that don't line up with the Word of God, it's important that we guard against, this is still under point two, we guard against every evil that seeks to come into our mind. We've already talked about that. How do you do that? By the Word, casting it down, and by just filling your mind with the right substance, filling your mind with the right materials, filling your mind with thoughts and words and revelations from the Word of God. You know, there's a story in Matthew chapter 12, I think it is, where the Bible, Jesus was talking about when a man who is heavily demonized and heavily influenced and under the control of demonic spirits, when he receives ministry, and those demonic spirits are cast out of that life, out of his mind. He says that those spirits go round, they go all around the place looking for a new dwelling place because they need a home. They need a body to operate in. And they're going to go through desert places, and they're going to go through other places, family associations and other human beings. And if they don't find a good resting place, the Lord said they're going to come back to where they were driven out from. And he said, if they come back and they meet that place, and that person is talking about a vessel now who was delivered from the influence of these demonic spirits. If he comes back there, they come back there and find the place is just swept, clean, garnished, decorated, but it is not occupied. It's not occupied with substance from the Word of God. This is why we need to constantly meditate the Word of God. And I'm not suggesting that this is what we do 24/7. Of course, none of us does that 24/7. But what the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to get to us is to prioritize that. Is to prioritize our relationship with the Word of God, our interaction with the Word of God. Technology makes this so good today in our generation. I mean, you can hear the Word. You can even hear the Bible. There are apps that have the Bible. You can hear teachings. You can watch teachings, messages. You can listen to music that carries the Word, that carries soothing, praise and worship, edifying, uplifting, faith-filled messages in music. You can watch things. You can read things, books that carry the Word, books that are filled with the Word. I mean, there's so many limitless ways of being able to fill ourselves with the Word. It's our responsibility to make sure we're filling ourselves with the Word. Guard against every evil that seeks to come into your mind. Stay away from all places and things that will not support your affirmation that God has heard and answered your prayer. This is very important. If you've done all the necessary things that you need to do in the place of prayer, remember we're talking about developing and engaging your faith in the place of prayer. You've done all these other things. You filled yourself with the Word of God. You've committed to the will of God. You've allowed the Holy Spirit to help you pray. You've picked out scriptures. You've done all of that. You've meditated. You've done all of that stuff. And now you've come to the place where you believed. If you have faith and you doubt not, you've stood against doubt. You stop that doubt from penetrating. You've raised up these standards against doubt. You've stopped it. You've stopped doubt from penetrating your heart and taking over your mind and taking over your thought process. Great. You've done all of that. You now believe. You expect. The Lord's answered you. You know you've prayed in His will. You are expecting His answer. You're expecting manifestation. You then don't keep hanging around things that tell you otherwise. You then don't hang around places and peoples that keep telling you otherwise. Oh no, you think God is going to answer you? Nah, the Lord is not going to answer your prayers. the Lord, you think the Lord is going to do that? When was the last time he ever did that? Have you read the history books? When was the last time the Lord did that? You are deceiving yourself. You stay away from those things. Don't say, no, I'm strong. I can pull it down. They will eventually weaken you because they have an influence. Remember, we talked about that. They have an influence. Stay away from those things and keep your mind strong. Amen. Keep your mind strong in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Keep your mind strong. Keep your mind focused very strongly in the Word. I want to give you a third instruction that is just as powerful, a third pertinent instruction in the area of developing and engaging our faith in the place of prayer. Listen to this. As much and as often as possible in your conscious moments, in your waking moments, most of your waking moments, think on the greatness of God and His goodness. This is one of the most powerful ways we can determine what goes on in our mind. As much and as often as possible in your conscious moments, in most of your waking moments, think on the greatness of God and His goodness. Count your blessings and your faith will increase. Lift your heart to God constantly in gratitude and increasing in praise for all that He has done and all that He is doing right now. Right now. In Psalm 34, David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Psalm 34 from verse 1 to 4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. The humble will hear thereof and they will be glad. And then he says, my soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I mean, you can read all of this. You can go all the way down at verse 8 and you can read further. I don't want to take time doing this because I want to close this tonight and I want to be able to wrap this up. But keep that in mind. As much and as often as possible in your conscious moments, in most of your waking moments, think on the greatness of God and His goodness. Count your blessings and faith will increase. Lift your heart to God constantly in gratitude and increasing praise for all He has done and all He is doing right now. Praise is one of the ways we express faith. Remember, the Bible says Abraham did not stagger in unbelief at the things that he saw. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, giving praise to God. Amen. It's one of the ways in which we express our faith. We engage our faith in the place of prayer. To be praying and to get to a point in your prayer and to begin to thank God for answer to your prayers. To begin to thank God because you know He's faithful. To begin to thank God because you know He will fulfill His word in your life. He will bring to pass everything that He has promised. He will bring to pass everything that He has spoken concerning you. That's one of the most powerful things we can do to engage our faith in the place of prayer. Amen. So that's my third pertinent instruction. And I want to give you one last one here before I wrap up this point here. This point on developing and engaging our faith in the place of prayer. Amen. I want to give you one last point here. Make every prayer relative to what you have asked a statement of faith and not unbelief. Let's say that again. Make every prayer. This is after you've done everything you need to do. You've been in the Word. Sought the will of God, engaged the Word of God, meditated the Word, you've put your request before the Lord, you've taken control over your thoughts, and you've aligned your thoughts and whatever is going on in your mind with the Word of God and all of that. Once you presented your prayer, your request to the Lord. Like the Lord said in Matthew 21, 21, 22. He says, if you will say to this mountain, if you will tell it, be removed from here and be cast into the sea, and if there is faith and there is you don't doubt, he says it will be done. And all things, he said, all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you will receive all things. He didn't say most things. He didn't say many things. All things, he said. So then, once you have gone through that process, you've presented your request to the Lord. We're talking about your personal, you're praying for yourself here. You've done everything that you need to do. You presented those requests to the Lord. From that point onwards, once you settle it, you come out of that place of prayer. From that point onwards, make every prayer relative to what you asked a statement of faith and not unbelief. Do not let words like, I'm not sure if the Lord heard me. I'm not sure what will happen. That's unbelief. I don't even know it's true, you know, but statistics, does God still do things like that? Don't go there. That is unbelief. Make every prayer relative to what you asked for a statement of faith. Say things like this: I know God answers my prayers, and I am confident he has granted me the desires of my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, in advance for the manifestation that you are bringing to pass. Amen. Say things like that. It doesn't have to be exactly that, but that's a good statement of faith. I know God answers my prayers, and I am confident he has granted me the desires of my heart. Thank you, Lord, in advance for the manifestation that you have given. Now, this is scriptural. You find this exactly like this in the Word of God. You remember when Jesus stood around the tomb of Lazarus, he was interacting with his sisters, and he was so moved with compassion because of what they were dealing with. But then after he did that part of comforting them and showing compassion, empathizing, the Bible even says that's the shortest scripture, you know, in the entire Bible. Jesus wept. That's where that scripture happened in John 11. Now, when he had done that, then it was time to get back and engage faith. He wasn't out of faith because he was expressing sympathy and he was showing compassion and empathy. He was not out of faith, but he chose to relate with them strongly at their human level. He chose to identify with what they were dealing with. The Bible says, the Lord is our high priest. It tells us in the book of Hebrews, amen, that he's able to run to our aid. He's able to succor us. The Bible says he knows, he has experienced every feeling of infirmity. He has experienced everything that we will ever experience in terms of frailty in our human experience. He said, but he was never once at a loss, and he was never once a failure. So he knows how to get with us in our human experience and sympathize and show compassion. But once that's done, then he engaged faith. And the Bible says here in John 11, verse 41, verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said, did I not say unto you, if you will believe, you will see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes now, listen, and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Listen, he's standing in front of the grave of Lazarus with a huge stone in front of the grave. No movement, no sound. If they could smell anything, it was the smell of a dead corpse that had almost started rotting. And Jesus stood in front of that grave and said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. Think about the strength of faith in that statement. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. You've heard me. with the man dead for 4 days, you've heard me. With the stink that we're perceiving, the odor coming out of this, you've heard me. Yes, he said, thank Father, I thank you that you have heard me. That's a statement of faith. That's exactly what we're saying. Make every prayer relative to what you have asked a statement of faith and not of unbelief. Listen now. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I knew that you hear me always. You hear me always. But because of these people who stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you sent me. I know you hear me always. That's a statement of faith. I know you already heard me, and I know you hear me always. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for that. Make it a statement of faith. Make it a statement of faith. Hallelujah. Make it a statement of faith. We know, if you've ever heard of the man, Smith Wigglesworth, he was the one who came up with the saying, the popular saying, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the word of God. That is, even when you are besieged by contradictions, I'm not moved, he said. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the word of God. So, what do I express? I express faith in the word. I don't expect doubt because of what I see or what I feel in my physical body right now. I express faith. And if it takes me 100 years to keep expressing faith in the word of God based on the promise that the Lord made, if it takes me to my grave to keep speaking faith in the word of God, so be it. So be it. But we would rather be in faith than be in unbelief. We would rather express our faith in the word of God. We're not afraid of any outcome that is contrary to what we believe. No, we believe in the word of God. We expect the outcomes promised by the word. We're not scared to mention that we believe God. We don't care about the ridicule that can come from people who don't believe like we do. We declare it boldly. I'm the healed of the Lord. Amen. The Lord has arranged my spouse, and he's preparing my spouse, he's preparing me, and he's bringing us together. Our paths are about to cross somewhere. I believe it. Oh, hallelujah. I have my own baby in my hands. Hallelujah. I'm dressing my baby. I have the miracle of my baby in my hands. Amen. I'm delivered from this generational attack. I'm rising up. I'm lifted up. I'm not cast down. This disappointment is temporary. This letter or this decision is temporary. It's not permanent. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at the promise. That's making your faith. Making every statement and everything you say, every prayer, relative to what you asked, a statement of faith. Amen. So keep in mind these powerful, 4 pertinent instructions. We've got to close here. And just before I close, I believe this is probably where we wrap up the aspect of developing and engaging our faith in prayer. But I want to be able to give you the 4 other principles that we're going to look at, I believe, briefly, a bit more briefly than these 3 foundational ones. We spent a lot of time on these 3 foundational ones. The first one was abide in the Lord and make sure his word abides in you. Number 2, commit to the will of God. Number 3, develop and engage your faith in the place of prayer. Excuse me. These other 4 principles are just as important, but I believe if we have the foundation of the first 3, it's very easy to build with the last 4. So I'm going to just tell you what those last 4 principles are. Those of you who take notes, you can write it down if you want. If you don't want to, it's fine. When we, by God's grace, when we come back in May, we'll pick it up from here. Number four, articulate your desires clearly to God. Articulate your desires clearly to God. It's amazing to me how many times people pray and they won't articulate their desires. They go round and round and beat around the bush and beat around the bush and talk about this, but they will never articulate their desires. When we pray, we must articulate our desires. We must make it clear. When the Lord said to blind Bartimaeus, "What do you want?" He could see the man was blind. He said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Blind Bartimaeus didn't say, "Can't you see I'm blind? Didn't they tell you that my name is Blind Bartimaeus, which implies that I must be blind, Jesus?" No, he didn't say that. When the Lord asked him, "What do you want me to do?" He articulated it clearly. He said, that I might receive my sight. That I might receive my sight. Articulate your desires clearly to God. When you pray for yourself, make sure you are very articulate. Number five, and I should say, by the way, sometimes in articulating our desires, sometimes you know what you desire, you know what you want to bring before the Lord in prayer, but it's almost like you lack the wisdom to actually articulate it as you should. And all of us experience this from time to time. This is one of the reasons why in the place of prayer, it's very important, in addition to articulating our desires, to always ask for wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord who gives freely without upbraiding. James chapter 1 verse 5. Let him ask faith in faith, though, without wavering. Because a double-minded man cannot receive anything from the Lord. So sometimes in articulating our desires, it's actually very important that we pray for wisdom. Some situations, you know what you want, the end product that you desire, but you don't know the steps that should lead to that end product. You don't know the A, B, C, D, E that will get you to the end product. Now, you could tell the Lord, "Lord, this is what I want ultimately," but you don't know A, B, C, D, E that leads to that ultimate goal that you desire. You don't know. So this is where we ask for wisdom. "Lord, I lack wisdom as far as this need that I have and exactly how to present it and exactly what to expect when I pray about it." You pray for wisdom. And sometimes, it's very amazing to me, sometimes the way the Lord works, sometimes we articulate all these things. And sometimes the Lord comes around and actually does what the ultimate thing we wanted, but sometimes he bypasses all the A, B, C, D, E that were supposed to lead to the ultimate thing that we wanted. That's the place of wisdom. That's the place of constantly asking for the wisdom of God and yielding to the wisdom of God. That's number four. Number five, Pastor Bode taught this so well. And I'm sure if you get a chance to go over his teaching, two of my last ones here are actually two of the things he taught very powerfully about on Friday, in the Friday night prayer service, prayer and power service, prayer and power night. He talked about the things to have and the things to refuse. And one of the things he said we should make sure we reject was doubt. Another one he says was unforgiveness. So this is my number five right here. Forgive and eliminate all unforgiveness and strife from your heart. Forgive and eliminate all, capital A-L-L. Don't hold to anything. Do not allow strife in your heart. It will paralyze your faith in prayer. It will stop your prayers from being answered. The Lord will not even hear you. Forgive and eliminate all unforgiveness and strife from your heart. Number six, I like this one very much. Recognize what is rightfully yours in Christ and demand it in his name and authority. Oh, this one I love so much. Sometimes some of the scriptures we look at all the time that we talk about, where it talks about, where Jesus said, "Hitherto you've asked nothing, ask in his name, or ask, you ask nothing but ask in my name. That, and a lot of those scriptures are actually talking about making a demand, not on God, but making a demand as far as what the Lord has given us and telling Satan to take his hands off of it, to let it go. Make a demand and take your place. How is it put again? Recognize what is rightfully yours in Christ and demand it in his name and authority. I demand it in his name and authority. That's so powerful. I look forward to us talking about that. And then the final one, number 7, always pray with thanksgiving. I know that man of God also delved into that. He actually told us three very powerful things in the area of thanksgiving. Your thanksgiving must be intentional. Your thanksgiving must be consistent. Your thanksgiving must be progressive. I love it very much. Thanksgiving is really what seals prayer. Thanksgiving is what guarantees that prayer arrives before the Lord and the answers are delivered. So the Lord will help us when we come back by God's grace after this time we take off in April, when we come back in the first Wednesday of May, by God's grace. We'll pick it up from here and try to finish this series of teachings over the next few weeks after that, as the Lord helps us. Amen. I hope you have been blessed. Thank you for joining us tonight. I have been blessed going over the word. It took a little longer than I thought it would, but praise God, the Lord helped us. Let's close out. Let's just bless the Lord. Let's close out with thanksgiving. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless your holy name. We give you praise. Like David said, we bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make her boast in the Lord. The humble will hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Father, we bless you. We thank you for all your goodness to us. So far, we're wrapping up the first quarter of 2021. So far, you have proved yourself faithful. So far, you have demonstrated grace and mercy towards us. So far, you have been good. You have been better to us than we ever deserve, Father. So far, you have manifested your glory over our lives. So far, you've given us strength and abilities. You've given us grace and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So far, you've opened doors. So far, you've given us breakthroughs. So far, you've opened the heavens upon our lives, and the reign of God has been coming down upon us. We thank you. We thank you. We give you all the glory and we give you all the praise. I call all of your people blessed, everyone under the sound of my voice tonight. I speak the blessing of God upon you and upon your loved ones, your family, and all of your godly relationships in the name of Jesus. I declare that the things you put your hands upon in this next quarter, this second quarter of 2021, will prosper. In the name of Jesus, you will not go out empty. The Lord will lift you up, and everything that your heart desires, the Lord will grant you in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.